Good morning. I'm Mark Allen with Gaber.io, and I'm here today with Allison Shapira, the CEO and founder of Global Public Speaking. Good afternoon in your case, Allison. How you doing?
Hi, Mark. I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Thank you for joining us today.
It is my pleasure.
Yeah. So to start with, can you share a brief background of yourself and your work experience?
Sure. I'm an opera singer by training. That is how I got my start professionally and then wound up going into diplomacy and later started my own business teaching public speaking. So when I come at the field of public speaking, it's from the perspective of a performer and then a speaker and then a speechwriter. So it was an interesting way of looking at that topic. And then I wound up founding my own company, teaching public speaking. And now in addition to that company, I teach communication at the Harvard Kennedy School, and I'm the author of the book, Speak with Impact, How to Command the Room and Influence Others.
Wow, very impressive. So I assume you're used to being in front of an audience, correct?
I am. I'm used to physically being in front of an audience, yes.
Yes. So, well, then tell us what Global Public Speaking is all about, what services you offer, who is your typical customer, all those things.
We're a leadership communication training firm that specializes in public speaking, but not just the formal presentations you might give in front of a large audience. We look at public speaking that happens every single day in meetings, pitches, or presentations. And as you move up in your career, regardless of your industry, more and more of your time is spent communicating the messages of your company to your employees, to your customers and clients. So we look at all the different ways in which we use our voice in the exercise of leadership. And then we do one-on-one executive communication coaching, workshops, and keynote speeches, all with the goal of helping people feel more confident, more comfortable, and more powerful in their speaking skills.
Well, and interestingly, I was a youth baseball and hockey coach for many years, and I actually took public speaking, and it really helped me, just what you said, get the right message across to the kids.
Exactly. So you're using public speaking in the act of coaching. It's about building that connection between you and your audience, whether it's one person or many, and then through that connection, educating them and inspiring them to take action.
Hopefully take action, yes.
Hopefully.
Young kids are—they're little. They don't always do what you want them to do, but that's a different story. So, your business, I have to believe, had to be pretty much in person up until about a year ago, correct?
That's right. I mean, we had been doing virtual training for really 10 years. However, most of our clients wanted in-person training. They wanted us to fly to their offsite or their headquarters, come in and craft an in-person experience for their teams. And that's what we love doing as well. And then in March of 2020, 95% of our business disappeared. Or was postponed indefinitely or outright canceled, as I'm sure you can imagine, because we weren't flying. I mean, I was supposed to be in Malaysia in February of last year. I had to cancel that, thinking it was something that was happening elsewhere. And then, as we all know, it was everywhere. So all of our business disappeared or was postponed. And I had just hired two new full-time in-person staff members. Ooh. And we were paying rent on an office that we couldn't go into. So it was a very rough time as a business owner. And so we had to very quickly pivot, not just our program offerings, but our working environment. We only had 3 weeks in the office as a team before we all went home to work remotely. So we had to spend a lot of time redoing all of our programs to make sure that they were the same level of impact and professionalism virtually, and then changing all of our team practices that we were still putting in place because it was a new team anyways. So all of that we had to do in a virtual setting. It was a pretty busy season.
I'll bet. So you didn't actually change your business. You just changed how you delivered your product, correct?
That's right. So we changed the way we deliver the product. People still need to learn to build their communication skills, but instead of building their in-person skills, actually our market increased exponentially because everyone who was abruptly moved from in-person to virtual now had to build an entirely new skill set. So all of those salespeople who said, you know what, I've been teaching public, or I've been pitching for 20 years, I'm fine, I know how to do this, they're now trying to figure out how to use Zoom or WebEx or whatever their company is making them use, and all of their natural charisma and confidence has disappeared because they can't figure out where the mute button is. So we actually developed a lot of new programs to help them make that transition.
So it sounds like you actually increased business in a way by going back to your old customer base and retraining them. Is that correct?
That's right. I mean, we started by reaching out to our customers to say, how are you? On a personal level, how are you? What do you need? We started offering free trainings for them because we knew nobody knew what their budget was going to be. So we simply reached out to be of service and help. And then we realized how much people needed, and we started to listen to our customers. And as a result, developed an entirely new suite of products. Now that everybody was going to be remote, what can we do now solving for that remote environment and giving them follow-up training and opportunities we couldn't have done in person because they didn't want to fly everyone back together again. But now we can simply log in and have office hours or semi-private coaching in a way that people would have been hesitant to do before COVID.
Wow, that's really fascinating. So did your business actually increase, stay the same, or go down a little?
Well, last year it went down significantly and then bounced back by year's end to where it's been in previous years. And this year is set to be our best year ever. As of right now, we are on track to be much better than we've done in previous years.
Wow. And you don't have to get on a plane and fly halfway around the world, which I would assume.
I know.
I mean,
it's
pros,
actually.
Yeah, there's pros and cons.
There are certainly, I mean, many of us miss that in-person connection that comes from making eye contact with someone and talking to them and feeling their energy. But it used to be before this that everyone thought of remote as this inferior to in-person. Yeah. And what we've learned is that that's not the case at all. What we've learned is that you can be nearly as impactful in different ways in a remote setting, in a virtual environment. And so now that people have realized that, they're embracing it, recognizing that it gives them so much more flexibility than they had before.
Yeah, so I mean, eventually we will go back to normal. Do you foresee your product line will go back to the same, or do you kind of like this where you're doing more of the remote training?
I see a little bit of both. So I see people are really hungry to get back to in-person programming. We miss that human connection. Even though we're talking about professional work environments, it's always about the human connection,
yes,
and we miss that. However, I foresee that a lot of our virtual programming will be constant going forward as people realize they no longer have to bring people together for everything. So maybe our kickoff is in person, and then we work remotely, and then we come back together for another in-person program, and then we have remote interspersed. So I anticipate a hybrid, and I also see a hybrid in terms of what any given professional is going to have to face going forward. So perhaps we've been preparing for an in-person pitch or presentation to a client, they've flown in to meet with us, they wake up that morning with a sore throat, and out of an abundance of caution, they're not going to reschedule. They're going to say, you know what, let's just do it on Zoom instead. And so that in-person presentation that you had crafted, you now have to deliver at a moment's notice virtually. So I'm calling it the versatile communicator skill set that we'll need to develop.
Interesting. So the people that, you know, that you've trained that were the veterans, I mean, there's you can tell when the person's really good in front of a crowd. There's no doubt about it, right? When you talk to them now, do they actually prefer the remote, or do they really want to go back to the old way?
It certainly depends. As you've said, there are pros and cons. It's much easier to be able to deliver a presentation virtually and not have to get on a plane or take a red eye. I mean, I've done speaking engagements where I had to take a red eye out, do the engagement, and then take the next red eye back. And I certainly don't miss that. I don't know many people who miss that. But having said that, I think there are situations where in-person is going to be the preferred model, and it's going to depend on the client. It'll depend on the context and what's being discussed. So I think it's going to be some sort of mix for the future.
So the next question really is, now that you've had a place where people came into work every day, right? Now you can actually hire from anywhere, correct?
So that's so interesting because I had just hired these two new
Right.
team members and I had selected people who were in person. I had said, I want an in-person office. I want us to come in, sit in the same space together. And now we can't physically do that right now. And we've been remote for nearly a year. And yes, it does give us more flexibility in terms of who we bring in the future. And my team in the meantime has decided to fly elsewhere and be in places where they can quarantine more comfortably. So one went north, the other went south, and I'm the only one in DC right now.
So do you foresee that you're going to keep your office space, or you think eventually you're going to say, I don't know, maybe, or maybe do more of a WeWork model?
We've actually been at WeWork for a number of years. We
Okay.
have our own private office within WeWork, which we like because as we grow, we can simply move to bigger offices but keep our same address, which has been really helpful for us. It's interesting because before this, I would have said we will always have an in-person office. And now, while I can't answer that question, there is a lot more to consider. We may not need an office going forward, and that will depend on what my team and I feel once we're able to come back together safely.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think when things do go back, what they say, to normal, I think people are going to like rush to be together for at least a month. It's going to be interesting. This the following month is like, hey, I kind of like that working from home or doing this remotely, right?
Well, it really depends on the team. I mean, a
Yeah.
lot of people, for like any job, it depends on the dynamics between the team, the relationship among the team and their manager and leadership. So there are going to be some organizations where people can't wait to come back together, and there will be some where they will avoid it in any way possible, because they don't want to come back together, and that's going to depend on the organization.
Yeah, and I've noticed too that the more technical the person, or the more they like to be alone at home, and the more salesy they are, the more they like to be in front, in with a more of a social setting. Would you agree?
It depends on where they get their energy. Sure, if they get their energy from being among people, then they're going to want to go back into the office. So it depends on whether their role is something that requires collaboration among team members. And even though there are some terrific virtual collaborative tools that we can use, there are also plenty of times where it's so much easier to anticipate challenges and talk through them in person, as opposed to spending hours crafting an email that you don't want to offend someone when instead you could have just spoken about it out loud. So it's really going to depend on a lot of
That's
factors.
true. I have noticed too that it's always better the person to person. Little, so many things get lost in just written text or, whatever, right?
That's right. That's right. And there's so much nuance in someone's tone of voice that, and there's the brainstorming process can be so much simpler in person, but we've had to adapt to that in this new environment.
Yes, we have. Well, Allison, I want to thank you for your time today. It's great to hear someone that pivoted and it was successful. And I wish 2021 is a very successful year for global public speaking. Thank you very
Thank you,
much.
Mark. I hope that for all of us. It was great speaking with you.
Same here. Bye.